Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Obis Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Guy.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about, do off-market property sales work? Now, this is such a fascinating question that we got from Bill from down in Queenstown. And he said, well, what is an off-market sale and how does it work? Well, sometimes they're called pocket listings by real estate agents. And that's when you might have a property for sale, but it's not publicly advertised. It's not taken to the open market, so therefore it's off-market. And so we often say on the show, if you're selling a property, you can't sell a secret. And so you might think, well, how does an off-market listing work if my property is not going to be listed publicly, and so therefore it will be a secret? Well, we're going to look at both the pros and the cons for buyers and sellers when you're thinking about an off-market listing. Now, Andrew, what are some different types of off-market sales?
Okay, so one example might be just a private sale. So someone knocks on your door and they say, hey, you know what, I was walking past your house and I think it's a lovely house, I'd like to buy it. And they make you an offer and that private sale happens completely off-market. It's not being advertised in the Blue Book or the Realtor or whatever the hell the books are now. Or you might have a real estate agent involved, but they do what Ed mentioned before, a pocket listing. So that might be when you say, hey, look, I really want to sell this house, but I don't want to go through the hassle of open homes. And I'll only do it if I kind of get a certain price for it. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of marketing. So an agent might say, you know what? I might ring around a few people that I know are looking in this area, or might this land might be suitable for to bowl over the house and build some townhouses. So again, they're going to go to an exclusive group of people that they already have on their database, but there's not going to be an open home. There's not going to be an online listing or a for sale sign. Or the third way that's quite common, you might sell through someone like Opus Partners, so like us, where a property is offered to a database, but again, it's not made available to general public.
Okay, so let's start by talking about someone selling or buying through a real estate agent. So I was speaking to Steve Coba. Now, he is amazing real estate agent up in Auckland. He has about 10% of the market in Remuera. 1 in 10 properties sold in Remuera has his name on it. And he was saying that there are kind of 3 main tiers of off-market sales, from very, very secret to very, very open. So tier one is when the real estate agent might contact a specific person to view. So I'm now a real estate agent. I've got a house and my vendor, my seller, they want to find a buyer, but they really don't want too many people through. And so they say, okay, call up the 2 or 3 people who you know are looking right now. Then you move to tier two, which is a little less secret, where the seller might say, find me a buyer. And an agent looks at their database and they might call up 20 people to view or 30 people to view and say, hey, I've got this property. Do you want to have a look at it? And then you get tier three. Steve might have this pocket listing. He sends it out to his whole database and says, hey, look, I've got this property. It's not going to be found online. If you want it, let me know. Now, people who use the off-market method, Andrew, they tend to have very specific types of properties. So what sort of properties are sold off-market? And when would you use each of these 3 tiers, from very, very secret to very, very open?
Okay, so thinking about tier one, so the very, very secret ones, that's probably going to be a really high-end property. So in Remuera, you can understand that, okay, someone might have a massive mansion there and they don't want people going through their house, or they might be a prominent public figure. And so the seller says, hey, you know what? I value privacy over the promise of the highest possible price.
Yeah, if you think about, let's say John Key was going to sell his house.
It's hardly going to have open homes, is it?
Well, he doesn't want me coming through and sniffing his
knickers. No, because you would as well. And also, you think about the buyer for that type of property, it's not going to be the general public. There's going to be such a small percentage or fraction of a percentage of people that could afford to buy a John Key-esque home. So surely you don't have to open the home out to the general public.
Well, the other thing that happens these days is places like One Roof, if they see that someone famous is selling their home, they write a big article about it. Oh. And then everybody like me goes on and I want to see, well, who's that singer in Auckland who's just selling her home? She's quite famous. Tina someone. Tina, who is it? Who is it? Tina Cross. Tina Cross has been selling her house in Auckland. And then so me and everybody else, I wonder where Tina Cross lives. Oh, that's a very interesting address. Now I'll just drive past. You know, people who value their privacy don't want that kind of thing happening.
Tier two, these are normally section sales or development land. So say, for example, you've got a big house in St. Albans and Christchurch, and it's got a huge section with it. But probably someone's not going to necessarily buy it for the house itself. They're going to bowl it down and put a whole bunch of townhouses on it. Well, that, again, doesn't necessarily need the same level of marketing, because there's a really good understanding in the market of what a good square meter rate is for that land. So that's where, again, you might be able to complete a sale without having to do the normal process of running these open homes.
Yeah, so the agent might call up, say, 20 developers who are, they know, are hunting around the area looking for something.
And tier three, that's going to be marketed to a database. So lots of new build developments happen this way. So a developer says, okay, well, I've got 100 units in this development. I need to get 50 of them sold as my pre-sales, but I don't want to go to the open market because I don't want the open market to see that I've accepted a low price for those first 50 because I want to sell the other 50 at a higher profit level.
Ah, I see. So you might say, okay, I'm going to do these first couple off market, get my pre-sales, and then I'll sell the rest of them at a higher price later on. But if the whole market knows I was selling them at a lower price, they might say, oh, hang on, I want the low price too. Now, Andrew, when don't off-market sales work? When would it be a bad idea then?
So Steve Corber said that it's more risky in a stronger market, so a more competitive market. And that's because it reduces or removes competition between buyers. Now, again, you know, you think about a John Key type property. There's probably only going to be a couple of people that have got the budget for that type of property. But say you've got a $4 million house in Remuera. That's probably quite common. And so, again, you probably don't want to reduce that fishnet that you're casting out there. You want to be able to capture as many people in to create a bit of competition and push that price up.
Yeah, so especially in a hot market, if you go off market, you might end up getting a worse price. You might get a good price, but not necessarily a phenomenal price. So what do you need to know then as a seller if you are going to go ahead and sell off market? Well, your main motivator is probably going to be more privacy over price, right? So you're going to accept, hey, I might not get the highest price possible, but I really care about my privacy. I really value that. I don't want all and sundry coming through my house. Whereas if you go to the open market, you're going to spread the net far and wide to try and catch the biggest fish with off market. You're not going to spread the net quite as far. And there are a couple of other good things too if you are going to do an off market. First of all, you're going to save on marketing costs. You don't have to pay to go onto Trade Me. You don't have to pay to put up a site. You don't have to pay to run some ads or film a video or any of those other costs that a real estate agent will charge you. I suppose the other benefit as well is that your listing's not going to go stale. So if you put your property up on Trade Me, and I was looking at one down in Christchurch, and you know this, Andrew, and I think the property was up online for 6 to 7 months. And so I'm getting all excited. Oh, I'm going to lowball this one.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, I thought that I put in a very fair offer, and they were a bit offended by that. But you can't please everybody all of the time.
Why don't you just try pleasing some of the people some of the time, Edward?
Andrew, I think you're just a bit upset because in the last podcast, I tried to give you some constructive feedback and you didn't take it very well. And now you're trying to hit back at me in this podcast. But I see what you're doing. But my main point that I'm trying to get across is that if you see a listing has been online for 9 months, people will start to lowball you. If you are doing off-market, well, then your listing's not going stale. People aren't going to say, oh, ha, 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 I'm going to get in here and try and lowball them. So what about the buyer, Andrew? What is in it for them if they decide to purchase off market?
So I guess it depends a little bit on what it is that you're buying. But because there's a little bit less competition, maybe you end up with a lower purchase price. And so that's useful, obviously getting a lower price. But I think one of the big ones is actually because, again, it's not being marketed to all and sundry, you're less likely to end up in a multi-offer situation. So it can make it a lot less stressful when you're signing up to buy a property. You probably have the price given to you rather than having to go, okay, well, what do I need to negotiate to? Are they going to accept this offer? Usually that's already pre-negotiated. It's all disclosed, so it makes it really straightforward.
But at the same time, there are also some risks there. Where can buyers get caught out if they buy off market?
Yeah, I think actually one of the big ones is if you go and buy a property just privately, just a private sale, you're not necessarily covered by the Consumer Guarantees Act and the Fair Trading Act. So a seller might want to do a private sale because they know that there's an issue. And real estate agents have an obligation to disclose these issues to any buyers. If you're a private seller, you don't have that same obligation. Well, technically you do, but obviously it's probably a lot harder to prove that a private seller knew something.
Yeah, a bit more of a grey area. You can take a real estate agent to the real estate authority, the REA.
You'd have to go through vendor's warranties, which is a much more complex process if something goes wrong.
Yeah, you could definitely get caught out more if you do an off-market sale and it's just privately with the owner. So that's where you go and you knock on somebody's door, you say, I want to buy your house. They don't tell you that there's something wrong in the basement, and then you get caught out later. But I also want to look at a couple of case studies where, you know, it kind of doesn't necessarily go well and it doesn't necessarily go poorly. So Steve was telling me about that in a quiet market like we've got now, you've got to see some more off-market sales. Now, he actually sold a property on Seaview Road in Remuera, and he sold it last month for $7.65 million. God, that's a lot of money for a house, isn't it? And he had been working with, I think, that buyer for about 9 months. And the buyer wasn't a bargain hunter, and the owner was very private. They negotiated that very high price. But what was interesting was Steve was saying, well, if we went to the open market, it's probably a 50-50 call about whether he would have gotten a better price on the open market or not. You know, a bit hard to say at those more expensive properties. So that's probably an example where the seller got the privacy he wanted and the buyer got an okay price. Now, another time where it didn't go so well, he told me about a time where there was an agent with a property where there was some issue with the ground, and everybody knew about it, and the agent wasn't able to get anybody to come and view the property because everybody could see what the issue was already. So that's where it would have been better to go to the open market and cast a wider net, because you need somebody very specific to buy your property. So look, there are pros and cons for going off market, but I think what's most important for you guys listening to the show is just to know that off market sales happen and that they are an option. They can either work for you or they can work against you. Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.